I ask you please to turn in God's word to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read some verses out of this passage of God's word. Hebrews chapter 12, and we read from verse number 1 down to verse 3, and then we'll go down the passage a little further. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. This, of course, comes just immediately after the men and women of faith that are detailed there in chapter 11, those who lived their lives very publicly for Christ. And it says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, because of what we've read, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And then down to verse number 18. "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Amen. Let's just commit ourselves unto the Lord, pray for his blessing in the message tonight. Our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we have read the living word of the living God. And Lord, we've been reminded tonight that there's a duty upon each child of God to run the race that is set before us. Lord, we cannot do that in our own strength. We cannot do that in our own power. But as we learned this morning, the Spirit of God dwells within us and enables us to live for Christ. And let we come to the end of this passage and we're reminded that the very reason we can run the race and the very reason we can live for Christ is because of the blood of Christ. We thank thee for the blood that washes whiter than snow. Thank thee, Lord, for the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Thank you for that precious blood that cannot fail the eternal merit and value of the blood. And therefore, Lord, tonight, as we would think upon the blood in this message, we pray that thou wilt cause us to see how we stand in relation to it. We pray for those who are not under the blood tonight, that thou wilt show them their need of a Savior. Lord, we pray tonight they'll not just feel a little conviction or a little uncomfortableness in this meeting, but I pray, Lord, they will feel the weight and burden of their sin tonight, that they might flee to the one who can wash their sin away. We pray, Lord, tonight that sinners will realize there is a fountain open for cleansing tonight. And while they've come to the house of God in their sin and under the condemnation and wrath of God, Lord, we thank thee tonight they can leave in Christ, washed in the blood. And therefore tonight we pray, Lord, in this meeting you'll give deciding grace. Pray, Lord, tonight you'll give the gifts of faith and repentance. We pray in tonight in this meeting you'll give ears to hear and hearts to obey. Empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I ask, O Lord. We need the help of God and the proclamation of thy word and of thy truth. Help us not to say anything that would cause people to stray. But, O Lord, keep us faithful to the truths and the Word of God. I pray, Lord, in this meeting tonight, we'll know we're in the presence of God. Lord, when we speak about the blood, we know the devil will be angry, and therefore we pray against him tonight. Defeat every plot and plan of hell against this meeting tonight. Every lie that will be told to a sinner tonight. Now's not the time. It's not important. Oh, Lord, give liberty tonight. Give victory tonight in this meeting. And may we leave this place knowing we have drawn nigh to God. God has drawn nigh to us. Lord, we need thee. Come, we pray, present yourself among us. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead. Make people hear tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. First time blood is mentioned in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 10. The Lord says, "What hast thou done unto Cain? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The blood is personified here and described as crying unto God. That word crieth means to proclaim. And that blood was proclaiming a message to heaven itself. And that message was a message calling for justice, calling for vengeance. It was a message that was bringing despair to Cain. And it was a message that sin had to be owned. Cain killed Abel. Abel's blood, in some measure, poured out upon the ground. He thought the matter was over. And he could live with that in the past. But the Bible says Abel's blood cried out unto the Lord. And as the Lord looked upon the very first victim of murder and beheld that blood on the ground, that blood cried for justice. And the result of Cain's actions were threefold. The result of this incident was threefold in the life of Cain. First of all, in verse number 11, he was cursed, and now art thou cursed from the earth. Verse number 12, he would have no home, nor would he have rest. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And then we find that in verse number 16, he was eternally separated from God, because it says in verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And folks, still today, those are the consequences for those who are not saved. For those whom God will judge in their sin, the consequences are the same. Cain was cursed. The word means bitterly cursed. And so too, if you die in your sin and stand before God, you will be cursed into hell under the wrath of God. Cain would have no home or rest in his life upon this earth. And the soul that dies in their sin will have no resting place for that soul. Hell for all eternity in the torments of an eternal hell. And then, of course, Cain was eternally separated from God. And those who die separated from God will go into eternity separated from God. And that's all they will ever know. No hope, no peace, no rest, no Savior, no gospel. But when we come to Hebrews chapter 12, we read of another type of blood. Another's blood. A greater blood than that of Abel. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 22, "But ye are come unto." And then it lists various things that the child of God has come unto or is brought into through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. "But ye are come unto," and then we can go straight down to verse number 24, "we are come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." We are come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. In other words, the blood of Christ, the God-man, our mediator, our great high priest, speaks better things for us than the blood of man. It's called the blood of sprinkling. And whenever we hear of that terminology, sprinkling, we're reminded of the work of the high priest and how he took the blood and how he sprinkled it upon the altar. And that is the thought here, that when we come to faith in Christ as our high priest, we're sprinkled with the blood. And that blood makes atonement for the soul. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Only Jesus' blood can do that. Only Jesus' blood can speak of cleansing for any man, woman, boy, or girl. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when we speak about the blood speaking, in reality, we're speaking about the life of the one from whom the blood has come. You see, the blood of Abel spoke unto God. What was it saying? I've been murdered. My life has been taken. God's law has been broken. And justice must be made. What do we say when we speak about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We say that that precious blood came from the pure and perfect, holy, spotless Lamb of God, second person of the Trinity, the one who was not able to sin, the one who knew no sin, the only one who was able to bear our sins in his body on the tree. See, we have a hymn that says, there is no love like the love of Jesus. There is no eye like the eye of Jesus. There is no voice like the voice of Jesus. There is no heart like the heart of Jesus. But we could add on to that, there is no blood like the blood of Jesus. It's precious blood. It's incorruptible. It's saving. It's cleansing. And thank God it is speaking blood. And in this meeting tonight, before you leave, it is your business this hour to ensure that the blood is speaking for you. That the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking for you. And with that thought in mind, I want to consider three questions briefly tonight. And simply tonight. First of all, what does the blood of Jesus Christ say? What does the blood of Jesus Christ say? See, the Bible declares here that the blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. So what is it that the blood says? Well, if you go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12, you find the first answer. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12. Well, let's go to verse 11. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So here we have the blood mentioned. So what does the blood say? Well, the blood speaks and says that Christ has redeemed his people. Christ has redeemed his people. For those who are belonging to Christ, this is true for them. This blood that he enters into the holy place with declares that eternal redemption has been made. What is redemption? It is paying the debt of sin. It is paying the debt of sin. Sung tonight, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt and I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And thank the Lord, the child of God in this meeting tonight has nothing to pay. The debt of their sin has been settled at the cross by the shedding of the blood, by the shedding of the precious innocent blood. And never again will the punishment of past, present, or future sins be required at our hands. Jesus' blood covers it all. That's what the blood says tonight. That's what the blood speaks tonight about those who are saved. The blood says that person has been eternally redeemed. But not only that, if you look at verse number 14, it says, let's read verse 13 for context. If the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So here's something else that the blood does. It says it purges our conscience. And you know what that means? That means that God has given us a clear understanding of who he is. The word purge there means to make clean or clear or pure. The conscience means the understanding, to become aware of or to see clearly. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are given a right mind to see biblically, to see as God sees. In other words, before we were saved, we looked at people who were Christians. We thought, what a waste of a life. They're doing things that seem to be boring and of no point or no use. They're going to church all the time. They're praying. They're giving out tracts. It seems to be that they're just doing things that have no interest to me. But you see, when you're saved, and you see when you're washed in the blood, then you have a different view. And you look at coming to church as a privilege. And you look forward to praying. And you look forward to serving the Lord. And you see the blood has given us a clear sight to see what God expects and what God requires and what's right in the sight of a holy God. So what does the blood of Jesus Christ say? What does it speak for me? This person's been redeemed. This person's been given a clear understanding of the gospel. Verse 26, look what it says. For then must he, that is Christ, often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sacrifice, the shedding of the blood. So what does the blood say? That Christ has put away the sins of his people. You see that word put away? Well, it's two words in the English, but in the original it's only the one in the Greek. And the word put away means cancellation. Cancellation. So let's read this again. He hath appeared, or once in the end of the world hath he appeared, to cancel sin by the sacrifice of himself. So the debt that I owed was paid. The record of sin and the guilt that was mine has been cancelled. It's completely cancelled. The record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. And the Lord Jesus' blood cancels out our guilt, and it cancels out the record of our sin. And that's what the blood says for the people of God. Now verse number 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look unto him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But it's that little phrase there. He was once offered on the cross to bear the sins of many. Offered, what does that mean? That word offered is a very interesting word. Because we could also translate that word into the English by the words dealt with. So if we look at this verse again, Christ was once dealt with. And upon the cross, God the Father dealt with the Son as he bore our sin. He was considered guilty. He was considered having the shame and the debt of sin upon his shoulders. And as our substitute, he took the punishment for our sin, because it says here he bare the sin, and that means to take them up and to carry them. And the Lord carried our sin upon the cross, and God dealt with him as God ought to deal with a sinner. You know that verse, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. That's the same word, that word dealeth. It means God taking part and doing something toward you. And here on the cross, as our substitute, Christ was dealt with because he bore our sins. Thank the Lord he was dealt with because he loved us. And then in chapter 10 and verse number 19 of Hebrews, look over there. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and assurance, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So what does the blood say in this instance? The blood says that I am welcome into the holy place. The blood says that I'm welcome into the very presence of God. I can come with boldness. I can come with assurance because of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been cleansed by the blood. And therefore, the blood says, he's welcome to talk to God. She's welcome to talk to God. That's what the blood says. We're welcome in the place where God is. Romans chapter 5, and just two more before we come back to this passage. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, you know what the verse is. It says, much more then, being now justified by his blood. That is being declared legally righteous. Legally righteous. So therefore, the blood declares us to be innocent of all transgression. And then in Colossians 1 and 20, we'll not turn to it for time, the blood gives us peace with God. So folks, tonight, the blood does many things for us, and the blood declares many things. What does the blood of Jesus Christ say for you, Christian, tonight? It says that he has redeemed you. It says he's given you an understanding. It says that he has put away your sin. It says he has borne your sin. It says that you're welcome in the holy place. It says you're justified. It says you have peace with God. And then many people try and preach a gospel without the blood. We can't have these things without the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We leave the blood out, there is no gospel, or certainly no gospel according to God. His standard is a blood standard. The way to approach God is through the blood. The way to know assurance of salvation is to read about the blood. The way to be saved tonight is to be washed in the blood. So that's what the blood of Jesus Christ says. But the second question is this: for whom does the blood of Jesus Christ speak? Because it's wonderful things that are being said. Oh, wonderful things. But for whom does the blood of Jesus Christ speak? Well, if we turn to Hebrews chapter 1, we'll find that to whom the letter was written. Hebrews is a unique letter in that usually in New Testament writings, the name of the author comes at the start. And because the name of the author, certainly the human author of the letter, is not recorded here, there has been a little controversy over who actually penned the letter to the Hebrews. Most Bible commentators would agree it was most likely Paul. But as we look here, it certainly is addressed to a certain people. It says here in verse number 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So it's a particular people. And then if you go down to verse number 3, that us is identified. Look at the middle of verse number 3. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Paul is writing to the people whose sins have been purged. In other words, those whose sins have been washed away or cleansed, or those who have been purified from their sin. If you turn to chapter 3 and verse number 1, look again at the description he gives of this people. He says here, chapter 3, verse number 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So the people to whom he's writing are called holy brethren. Well, we know in Scripture what that means. It means those who belong to the Lord, those who are of the family of God, partakers of the heavenly calling, those who profess Christ as their high priest. And what is a high priest? He was the one who represented the people before God. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest went in with the blood into the holy place to plead for the people before God. And for those who say, Christ is my Savior and my high priest, you have one in glory who's pleading for you, one who speaks for you. Now, these people, can I say, were not a perfect people. The Hebrew Christians were not a perfect people. If you turn to chapter 5 and verse number 12, you'll find that. Hebrews 5, verse 12, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of meat. So Paul is looking at this people and he's saying, thank God you're saved, but you know, you're really not where you should be. You should be more mature for the length of time you've been saved and for the teaching you've received, but really, you're still in the very basics of your walk with God. So they're not a perfect people, but they're a saved people. And you know, sometimes people look at their lives and they think, well, I live a good life. Surely that must earn merit with God. Not at all. Or there's some Christians and then they go to the other end of the scale and sometimes whenever they fall in sin, they say, oh, maybe I'm not saved anymore. Not at all. When we're saved by grace, we're saved eternally. We've already read that word tonight. So, Christian, never doubt your salvation. If you're saved and you're grieving over sin, hallelujah, what a wonderful sign of salvation. Turn from it and come back to the Word. Throughout the Word of God, the people who are spoken of here, for whom the blood of Christ speaks, They're called in Galatians those who are in Christ, those who are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood. In Ephesians, those who are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12, they're called the sons of God. And that word sons, as I looked it up, it means a child, a daughter, or a son. So therefore, it's speaking to those who belong to God. Now, as we come to the word of God, no man or woman belongs to God by birth. In fact, we're born separated from God because of our sin. So those who belong to God are those who've entered into a special saving relationship with the Lord. And the only way we can come into a relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man, woman, boy or girl, cometh unto the Father but by me. And to be called a child of God, to be called a fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, to be called a son of God, to be called a holy brethren, you need to be in union with God. And the only way that can be done is through Christ. Those who are identified by the blood, washed in the blood, depending upon the blood, trusting in the blood for their salvation. That's those for whom the blood of Jesus Christ does speak. Found an interesting verse as I was studying for this, and it's found in Jeremiah chapter 50, 34, and it says this, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall truly plead their cause. What a wonderful statement. Their Redeemer. That brings us to the cross. That brings us to the blood. It's speaking of those who are saved, who have claimed Christ as their Savior. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name, and he shall truly plead their cause. And folks, tonight, that's the only testimony that matters in your life. My Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name, and he will truly plead my cause. So the reality is tonight, only those who are saved can know Jesus' blood speaking for them. First question, what does the blood of Jesus Christ say? We've covered that. Second question, for whom does the blood of Jesus Christ speak? For those who belong to him. Here's the third question tonight, as we draw to a close. How may the blood of Jesus Christ speak for me? How can it be that the blood of Jesus Christ will speak for me? Well, the first thing you've got to do tonight is to realize that one of two things will speak for you. When you stand before God on the day of judgment, one of two things will speak for you. It will either be the blood of Jesus Christ, or it will be your blood. Either the life of Jesus Christ or your life. The life that you have lived will be your testimony. Or if you're saved, the life that Jesus Christ has lived will be your testimony. It's your blood or Jesus' blood. Your life or Jesus' life. Your testimony or Jesus' testimony. Let me bring it down even more. It will either be your sinfulness or Christ's sinlessness. That's what will speak for you. No one else, nothing else. But when you stand before God, your life will speak for you if you're not saved. But thank God if you are, then Christ's life will speak for you. And therefore, it's not enough just to realize that something will speak for you, but you must decide what it is. You must decide tonight what you will depend upon to present before God when you meet him in the judgment. What will speak for you? Church, reputation, charity, honor, baptism, communion, christening, selflessness, charity, love. Folks, these things will not speak peace for you. These things will not satisfy the justice of God. Psalm 30, verse 9 says, "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit?" And you know what the answer is? Absolutely nothing. There is no profit in my life. There's no profit in your life tonight. You know your life. You know your past. You know the record. But nothing, nothing, nothing will suffice on that day other than the blood of Jesus Christ speaking for you. Beautiful hymn. Remember the men's choir sang it some years ago, "When the harvest has been gathered and all my work is done, when the last mile's been traveled and I've sung my final song, when I'm called to give an answer at heaven's judgment seat, then let the blood of Calvary speak for me. May it write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me." And folks, tonight, that's all we need. And thank God it's what's offered freely in the gospel. A Savior who will stand and plead your cause before the throne of judgment. And on that day, those who are in Christ, identified and marked by the blood, as they stand before God, will hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest." Not because we've lived a particular type of life, but because the life of Christ has represented us. Folks, tonight, we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 12. We've read tonight our text that the blood of sprinkling speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling speaketh better things than that of Abel. And if we stop there, then we miss out greatly. Let's read the next sentence. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And here's a plea from the book tonight. Here's a plea from God. Here's a plea from heaven. There is a Savior with a sinless life and with precious blood that can save you and make you fit to stand before God. Don't refuse him. Don't refuse him. How sad it would be, any man or woman or young person in this congregation to ever stand before God in their sin. Be reminded of the night that the Lord spoke to them in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, with these words, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Oh, there's many who don't know. Friend, tonight, there's many who haven't heard in this world. But as you sit in the presence of God, let me ask you sincerely, will you refuse him tonight? Will you refuse the blood of cleansing? Will you refuse the cancelling out of your sin? Will you refuse the justification, the peace, and the pleading blood? Friend, if you're going to refuse it tonight, then you leave this place as a fool, headlong for hell. But thank God tonight, if you say, "Lord, I want that blood to speak for me," then in a moment, you can know salvation. I was thinking about that as I was preparing this message. I just wrote out a few words that simply would be a prayer that we would need to think about, or certainly sentiments that we need to express before God for our salvation. "Lord, my life will take me to hell, but the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ can fit me for heaven. The blood shed on Calvary has the power to wash away my sin and to make me righteous in the sight of a holy God. And so I turn from my sin that offends God and condemns my soul to hell. And I trust in the work of Jesus Christ as my testimony from this moment and forever until I stand safely at home in heaven. And friend, tonight, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. And the word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to turn in our hymn books tonight before we come to prayer. And we're going to turn to hymn number 96. And friend, this hymn brings us to the reminder of the importance of the blood. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. And then verse number 3, make this your prayer tonight. Obey what this verse would say. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand. And that penitent means one who is repenting of their sin. And there, confess my sin. Folks, this is bringing us to the cross. It's bringing us to the blood. And as others around you who are saved by the grace of God sing these words, why not call upon the Lord to save you? As we sing about cleansing in the blood, you claim it tonight as yours and know peace with God. Let's stand and really sing this out. Remain standing, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're in the presence of God. Folks, you know what God has been ministering to your heart tonight. Man looks in the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Perhaps tonight you have called on the Lord to save you. If that's been the case, let us know. We'd love to show you how to go on and go through with God. You'd like to speak to someone. I'm here tonight. There are other brethren here tonight who can show you from the Scriptures how you can be saved. Folks, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Hymn writer said, "Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within." Have you peace? Have you peace in time? Have you peace in eternity? If not, then there's a Savior ready and willing, and thank God he's able to pardon and cleanse you in his precious blood. Heavenly Father, speak on, we pray. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish. But, O Lord, what has been of God, let it live in the hearts of men and women, young people. And even tonight, O Lord, bring the last one to Christ. O, they've wandered many years. O Lord, they've wasted many years. But thank thee, it's not too late to be saved. O, bring them right through for Jesus. Give no rest, give no peace, until they bow the knee and claim thy blood as their testimony and covering tonight. O Lord, honor thy Son, bless thy word, and give the people wisdom tonight after this service, that they wouldn't snatch away the seed of the word. But Lord, speak on, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.